Hello and welcome to the next instalment of Middleton's Endgame, our live show from the 400th anniversary of the staging of A Game at Chess by Thomas Middleton. Part 1 introduced the context of the play, and now you're getting the live show in a relatively basic mix to get a sense of the flow of the one-off event before I produce a fuller edit of the show as a one-off audio adaptation. Content warnings are in the show description, as the play does deal with some distressing themes. After a short break following the introduction in the previous episode, the audience has returned for the first half of A Game at Chess. And so, I will leave you with Past Robert to set the scene. Enjoy.
Right, welcome back, everybody. Before we begin, couple of things, I didn't mention earlier, just make sure your mobile phones are switched off and all those, that jazz, as it were, that'd be lovely. This is a very small stage, there are a lot of us, there are occasionally going to be the odd longueur while everyone takes a step to the left or a step to the right. So before we begin, I want to highlight some of the doubling to help guide you through the action. You've already met Loyola, doubling as the Black Knight. There he is. Loyola's ghost is in the framing device, who raises up the personification of error. And together they see the world of Anglo-Spanish relations in the figure of a chess match. Error is doubling as the white king's pawn. So that's the double over there. Our white duke is also doubling in the first half as the black bishop. And our white knight will also briefly feature as a pawn in the opening of the second half. Now, I'm going to explicate, I'm going to cheat slightly for this production, a bit of backstory that we don't think Middleton makes quite clear enough, and especially in the context of an audio presentation, might not be clear from the action. So, the White Queen's pawn, over there, was betrothed to the White Bishop's pawn, until he was castrated by his rival, the Black Knight's pawn, by me. So none of these three characters have quite got over this gelding, and it is quite an important character motivation, in theory explained in the opening of the play, but not very clearly. Middleton, another draft, please. That'd be lovely. The gelded white bishop's pawn has also absorbed the role of the white bishop in the play, so because we just sort of ran out of room. And the black duke has been removed and his lines redistributed to, well, pretty much everyone. This means that there is a cut towards the end of the play of two lines.
What?
Those two lines to be discussed later. You'd think this is a comedy. Beyond presents A Game at Chess by Thomas Middleton, live at the White Bear in Kennington. A Game at Chess.
What of the game called chess play can be made to make a stage play? Shall this day be played? First you shall see the men in order set, states and their pawns when both the sides are met, the houses well distinguished. In the game, some men entrapped and taken to their shame, rewarded by their play, and in the close, you shall see checkmate given to virtue's foes, but the fairest jewel that our hopes can deck is so to play our game to void your check.
Ha! Where? What angle of the world is this that I can neither see the politic face nor with my refined nostrils taste the footsteps of any my disciples, sons and heirs, as well of my designs as institution? I thought they had spread over the world by this time, covered the earth's face and made dark the land like the Egyptian grasshoppers. Here's too much light appears, shot from the eyes of truth and goodness never yet deflowered. Sure they were never here, Then is their monarchy unperfect yet? A just reward, I see, for their ingratitude so long to me, their father and their founder. 'Tis not 5 years since I was sainted by 'em. Where slept mine honour all the time before? Could they be so forgetful to canonise their prosperous institutor? When they had sainted me, they found no room in all their calendar to place my name, that should have removed princes, pulled the most eminent prelates by the roots up for my dear coming to make way for me. Let every petty martyr and saint homily, Roche, Maine, and Petronil, itch and ague curers, ye abbess, Aldegund and Cunigund, the widow Marcel, Parson Polycarp, Cecily and Ursula, all take place of me. And but for the bisextile or leap year, and that's but 1 in 3, I fall by chance into the 29th day of February. There were no room else for me. See their love, their conscience too, to thrust me, a lame soldier, into leap year. My wrath's up, and, methinks, I could with the first syllable of my name blow up their colleges. Up, error, wake, father of supererogation, rise. It is Ignatius calls thee, loyaler.
What have you done? Oh, I could sleep in ignorance immortally. The slumber is so pleasing. I saw the bravest setting of a game now that ever mine eye fixed on.
What game, prithee?
The noblest game of all. A game at chess betwixt our side and the White House. The men set in their just order, ready to go to it.
Were any of my sons placed for the game?
Yes, and a daughter, too, a secular daughter, that plays the Black Queen's pawn. He, the Black Bishop's.
If ever power could show a mastery in thee, let it appear in this.
It's but a dream, a vision, you must think.
I care not what, so I behold the children of my cunning and see what rank they keep.
You have your wish. Behold, the full number of the game. Kings and their pawns, queens, bishops, knights, and dukes.
Dukes? They're called rooks by some.
Corruptedly. Le Roc, the word, custode de la roche, the keeper of the forts in whom both kings repose much confidence, and for their trust's sake, courage and worth do well deserve those titles.
The answer's high. I see my son and daughter.
Those are two pawns, the Black Queens and the Black Bishops.
Pawns argue but poor spirits and slight preferments not worthy of the name of my disciples. If I had stood so nigh, I would have cut that bishop's throat, but I'd have had his place, and told the queen a love tale in her ear would make her best pulse dance. There's no elixir of brain or spirit amongst them.
Why? Would you have them play a game against themselves? That's quite against the rule of the game, Ignatius.
Pish! I would rule myself, not observe rule.
Why then, you'd play a game all by yourself.
I would do anything to rule alone. It's rare to have the world reined in by one.
See them anon, and mark them in their play. Observe, as in a dance, they glide away.
Oh, with what longings will this breast be tossed, until I see this great game won and lost.
That face, but my pity rises when I behold so clear a masterpiece of heaven's art wrought out of dust and ashes, and at next thought, to give her lost eternally in being, not ours, but the daughter of heresy. My soul bleeds at mine eyes.
Where should truth speak if not in such a sorrow? They're tears, plainly. Beshrew me if she weep not heartily. What is my peace to her to take such pains in? If I wander to loss, and with broad eyes yet miss the path she can run blindfold in through often exercise, why should my oversight, though in the best game that e'er Christian lost, raise the least spring of pity in her eye? It's doubtless a great charity, and no virtue could win me surer.
Blessed things prevail with it. If ever goodness made a gracious promise, it is in yonder look. What little pains would build a fort for virtue to all memory in that sweet creature were the groundwork firmer.
It had been all my glory to be firm in what I have professed.
That is the enemy that steals your strength away and fights against you, disarms your soul even in the heat of battle. Your firmness that way makes you more infirm for the right Christian conflict. There, I spied a zealous primitive sparkle, but now flew from your devoted eye, able to blow up all the heresies that ever sat in council with your spirit. And here comes he whose sanctimonious breath will make that spark a flame. List to him, virgin, at whose first entrance princes will fall prostrate. Women are weaker vessels.
By my penitence, a comely presentation, and the habit to admiration, reverend.
But the heart, lady, so meek that, as you see good charity pictured still with young ones in her arms, so will he cherish all his young, tractable, sweet, obedient daughters, even in his bosom, in his own dear bosom. I am myself a secular Jesuitess, as many ladies are, of wealth and worth. A second sort are Jesuits in voto, giving their vow unto the Father General. That's the black bishop of our house, whose pawn this gentleman now stands for, to receive the college habit at his holy pleasure.
But how are those in voto employed, lady? Till they receive the habit.
They're not idle. He finds them all true laborers in the work of the universal monarchy, which he and his disciples principally aim at. Those are maintained in many courts and palaces, and are induced by noble personages into great princes' services, and prove some councillors of state, some secretaries, all serving in notes of intelligence, as parish clerks their mortuary bills, to the Father General. So are designs oft-times prevented, and important secrets of state discovered, yet no author found, but they suspected oft that are most sound. This mystery is too deep yet for your entrance, and I offend to set your zeal so back, checked by obedience, with desire to hasten your progress to perfection. I commit you to the great worker's hands, to whose grave worth I fit my reverence, as to you my wishes.
Dost find her supple?
There's a little passage made.
Let me contemplate. With holy wonder season, my access and by degrees approach the sanctuary of unmatched beauty. Set in grace and goodness, amongst the daughters of men I have not found a more catholical aspect. That eye doth promise single life and meek obedience. Upon those lips, the sweet fresh buds of youth, the holy dew of prayer lies, like pearl dropped from the opening eyelids of the morn upon the bashful rose. How beauteously a gentle fast, not rigorously imposed, would look upon that cheek. And how delightfully the courteous physic of a tender penance, whose utmost cruelty should not exceed the first fear of a bride to beat down frailty, would work to sound health, your long-festered judgment, and make your merit, which, through erring ignorance, appears but spotted righteousness to me, far clearer than the innocence of infants.
To that good work I bow, and will become obedience humblest daughter, since I find the assistance of sacred strength to aid me. The labour is as easy to serve virtue the right way, since 'tis she I ever served in my desire, though I transgressed in judgment.
That's easily absolved amongst the rest. You shall not find the virtue that you serve now a sharp and cruel mistress, her ears open. To all your supplications, you may boldly and safely let in the most secret sin into her knowledge, which, like vanished man, never returns into the world again. Fate locks not up more trulia.
To the guilty that may appear some benefit.
Who's so innocent that never stands in need on't in some kind? If every thought were blabbed that so confessed, the very air we breathe would be unblessed. Now to the work indeed, which is to catch her inclination. That's the special use we make of all our practice in all kingdoms, for by discovering their most secret frailties, things which, once ours, they must not hide from us, that's the first article in the creed we teach them, finding to what point their blood most inclines, know best to apt them then to our designs. Daughter, the sooner you disperse your errors, the sooner you make haste to your recovery. You must part with them. To be nice or modest towards this good action is to imitate the bashfulness of one conceals an ulcer. For the uncomely parts the tumour vexes, till't be past cure. Resolve you thus far, lady. Private's thought that runs to hide itself in the most secret corner of your heart now must be of my acquaintance. So familiarly, never she friend of your night counsels nearer.
I stand not much in fear of any action guilty of that black time, most noble holiness. I must confess, as in a sacred temple, thronged with an auditory, some come rather to feed on human object than to taste of angels' food. So, in the congregation of quick thoughts, which are more infinite than such assemblies, I cannot with truth safety speak for all. Some have been wanderers, some fond, some sinful, but those found ever but poor entertainment. They had small encouragement to come again. The single life, which strongly I profess now, heaven pardon me, I was about to part from.
Then you have passed through love.
But left no stain in all my passage, sir. No print of wrong for the most chaste maid that may trace my footsteps.
How came you off so clear?
I was discharged by an inhuman accident, which modesty forbids me to put any language to.
How you forget yourself. All actions clad in their proper language, though most sordid, my ear is bound by duty to let in, and lock up everlastingly. Shall I help you? He was not found to answer his creation. A vestal virgin in the slip of grace could not deliver man's loss modestly. 'Twas the white bishop's pawn.
The same, blessed sir.
An heretic well pickled.
By base treachery and violence prepared by his competitor, the Black Knight's pawn, whom I shall ever hate for.
'Twas of revengers the unmanliest way that ever rival took. A villainy that, for your sake, I'll never absolve him of.
I wish it not so heavy.
He must feel it. I never yet gave absolution to any crime of that unmanning nature. It seems, then, you refuse him for defect. Therein you stand not pure from the desire that other women have in ends of marriage. Pardon my boldness if I sift your goodness to the last grain.
I reverence your pain, sir, and must acknowledge custom to enjoy what other women challenge and possess more ruled me than desire. For my desires dwell all in ignorance, and I'll never wish to know that fond way may redeem him thence.
I never was so taken.
beset doubly now with her judgment. What a strength it puts forth! I bring work nearer to you. When you've seen a masterpiece of man composed by heaven for a great prince's favour, kingdom's love so exact, envy could not find a place to stick a blot on person or on fame. Have you not found ambition swell your wish then, and desire stir your blood?
By virtue, never. I've only in the dignity of the creature admired the maker's glory.
She's impregnable. A second siege must not fall off so tamely. She's one of those must be informed to know a daughter's duty, which some take untaught. Her modesty brings her behindhand much. My old means I must fly to. Yes, 'tis it. Please you, peruse this small tract of obedience. 'Twill help you forward well.
Sir, that's a virtue I've ever thought on with a special reverence.
You will conceive by that my power, your duty.
The knowledge will be precious of both, sir.
What makes yon troubler, of all Christian waters, so near that blessed spring? But that I know her goodness is the rock from whence it issues, unmovable as fate, would more afflict me than all my sufferings for her, which so long as she holds constant to the house she comes of, the whiteness of the cause, the side, the quality and sacrifices to her worth and virtue, and, though confined in my religious joys, I'd marry her and possess her.
Behold, lady, the two inhuman enemies, the Black Knight's pawn and the White Bishop's, the Gelder and the Gelded.
There's my grief, my hate.
What? In the Jesuit's fingers? By this hand, I'll give my part now for a parrot's feather. She never returns virtuous. 'Tis impossible. I'll undertake more wages will be laid upon an usurer's return from hell than upon hers from him now. Have I been guilty of such base malice that my very conscience shakes at the memory of it, and when I look to gather fruit, find nothing but the savin tree, too frequent in nuns' orchards, and there planted by all conjecture to destroy fruit rather. I'll be resolved now. Most noble virgin...
Ignoble villain! Dare that unhallowed tongue lay hold upon a sound so gracious? What's nobleness to thee, or virgin chastity? They're out of their acquaintance. Talk of violence? That shame's creation deeds would make night blush, that company for thee. Hast thou the impudence to court me with a leprosy upon thee, able to infect the walls of a great building?
Son of a fence, forbear, go, set your evil before your eyes. A penitential vesture would better become you, some shirt of hair.
And you a 3-pound smock instead of an alb, an epicene chasuble. Oh, this holy felon robs safe and close. I feel a sting that's worse to white pawn. Hast so much charity to accept a reconcilement? Make thine own conditions, for I begin to be extremely burdened.
No truth or peace of that black house protested is to be trusted. But the hope of quittance, and warned by diffidence, I may entrap him soonest. I'll admit conference.
It's a nobleness that makes confusion cleave to all my merits.
That treatise will instruct you throughly.
So, the business of the universal monarchy goes forward well now, the great college pot that should be always boiling with the fuel of all intelligences possible through the Christian kingdoms. Is this fellow our prime incendiary, and one of those that promised the White Kingdom 7 years since to our Black House? Put a new daughter to him, and the great work stands. He minds not monarchy, nor hierarchy, diviner principality. I've bragged less, but I have done more than all the conclave of them take their assistant fathers in all parts, yea, and their father general in to boot. And what I've done facetiously, with
pleasant subtlety and bewitching courtship abused all my believers with delight. They took a comfort to be cozened by me. To many a soul I've let in mortal poison whose cheeks have cracked with laughter to receive it. I could so roll my pills in sugared syllables and strew such kindly mirth o'er all my mischief, they took their bane in way of recreation as pleasure steals corruption into youth. He spies me now. I must uphold his reverence, especially in public, though I know Priapus, guardian of the cherry gardens, Bacchus and Venus chit, is not more vicious.
Blessings, accumulation, keep with you, sir.
Honours, dissimulation, be your due, sir.
How deep in duty his observance plunges. His charge must needs be reverent.
I am confessor to this black knight, too. You see, devotion's fruitful shath many sons and daughters.
I do this the more to maze our adversaries to behold the reverence we give these gitterns, and to beget a sound opinion of holiness in them and zeal in us, as also to invite the like obedience in other puzzles by our meek example. So is your trifle vanished?
Trifle, call you her? It's a good pawn, sir. Sure, she's the second pawn in the White House, and to the opening of the game, I hold her.
Ah, you hold well for that. I know your play of old. If there were more queen's pawns, you'd play the game a great deal harder. Now, sir, we're in private. But what for the great work, the main existence, the hope monarchal?
It goes on in this.
In this? I cannot see it.
You may deny so a dial's motion because you cannot see the hand move, or a wind that rends the cedar.
Where stops the current of intelligence? Your father general, Bishop of the Black House, complains for want of work.
Here's a from all parts sufficient to employ him. I received a packet from the Assistant Fathers lately. Look, there's Anglica, this Gallica.
Aye, marry, there's some quick flesh in this.
Yeah, Germanica.
I think they've sealed this with butter.
This Italica.
They've put their pens the Hebrew way, methinks.
Ah, Hispanica here.
Hispanica? Blind work, this. The Jesuit hath writ this with the juice of lemons, sure. It must be held close to the fire of purgatory, ere it can be read.
You would not lose your jest, knight, though it wound your own name.
Curanda pecunia.
Take heed, sir. We're entrapped, the White King's pawn.
Oh, he's made our own man half in voto yours. His heart's in the Black House. Leave him to me. Most of all friends endeared, preciously special.
You see my outside, but you know my heart. Great difference in the colour. There's some intelligence. And as more grows, so your knowledge still shall prove the richer. There shall nothing happen, believe it, to extenuate your cause or to oppose your friends. But I will strive to cross it with my counsel, purse, and power. Keep all your strength back, your supplies both in means and men, that may raise strength against you. We must part. I dare no longer of this theme discuss. The ear of state is quick and jealous.
Excellent estimation. Thou art valued above the fleet of gold that came short home. Poor Jesuit-written soul, how art thou fooled out of thy faith, from thy allegiance drawn? Which way soe'er thou takest, thou'rt a lost pawn.
And here again. It is the daughter's duty to obey her confessor's command in all things, without exception or expostulation. 'Tis the most general rule that e'er I read of. Yet, when I think how boundless virtue is, goodness and grace, 'tis gently reconciled, and then it appears well to have the power of the dispenser as uncircumscribed.
She's hard upon it. 'Twas the most modest key that I could use to open my intent. What little or no pains goes to some people. Huh. What have we here? A sealed note. Whence this? To the Black Bishop's pawn, these. How, to me? Strange, who subscribes it? The Black King. What would he? Porn sufficiently holy but immeasurably politic. We add late intelligence from our most industrious servant, famous in all parts of Europe, our Knight of the Black House, that you have at this instant in chase the White Queen's pawn, and very likely by the carriage of your game to entrap and take her. These are therefore to require you, by the burning affection I bear to the rape of devotion, that speedily, upon the surprisal of her, by all watchful advantage, you make some attempt upon the White Queen's person, whose fall or prostitution our lust most violently rages for. Sir, after my desire hath took a julep for its own inflammation that yet scorches me, I shall have cooler time to think of yours. Shath passed the general rule, the large extent of our prescriptions for obedience. And yet with what alacrity of soul her eyes move on the letters.
Holy sir, too long I've missed you. Oh, your absence starves me. Hasten, for time's redemption, worthy sir. Lay your commands as thick and fast upon me as you can speak 'em. How I thirst to hear 'em. Set me to work upon this spacious virtue, which the poor span of life's too narrow for. Boundless obedience. The humblest, yet the mightiest of all duties. Well set here down. A universal goodness.
By holiness of garment, a safe innocence hath frighted the full meaning from itself. She's farther off from understanding now the language of my intent than at first meeting.
For virtue's sake, good sir, command me something. Make trial of my duty in some small service, and as you find the faith of my obedience there, then trust it with a greater.
You speak sweetly. I do command you first, then.
With what joy I do prepare my duty.
To meet me and seal a kiss of love upon my lips.
Huh?
At first, disobedient. In so little, too. How shall I trust you with a greater, then, which was your own request?
Pray, send not back mine innocence to wound me. Be more courteous. I must confess, much like an ignorant plaintiff, who, presuming on the fair path of his meaning, goes rashly on till on a sudden brought into the wilderness of law by words dropped unadvisedly, hurts his own cause, and gives his adversary advantage by it. Applied, you can best serve my obedience, and your command can find no better way. Fond men command, and wantons best obey.
If I can, at that distance, send you a blessing, is it not nearer to you in mine arms? It flies abroad from these lips in parcels, and I, to honour thee above all daughters, invite thee home to the house, where thou mayst surfeit on that which others miserably pine for. A favour which the daughters of great potentates would look of envy's colour but to hear.
Good men may err sometimes. You're mistaken, sure. If this be virtue's path, 'tis a most strange one. I never came this way before.
That's your ignorance. And therefore shall that idiot still conduct you that knows no way but one, nor ever seeks it. If there be 20 ways to some poor village, 'tis strange that virtue should be put to one. Your fear is wondrous faulty. Cast it from you. 'Twill gather else in time a disobedience too stubborn for my pardon.
Have I locked myself at unawares into sin's servitude with more desire of goodness? Is this the top of all strict order, and the holiest of all societies? The three vowed people for poverty, obedience, chastity, the last, the most forgot? When a virgin's ruined, I see the great work of obedience as better than half finished.
What a stranger are you to duty grown? What distance keep you? Must I bid you come forward to a happiness yourself should sue for? 'Twas ne'er so with me. I dare not let this stubbornness be known. 'Twould bring such fierce hate on you. Yet presume not to make that courteous care a privilege for wilful disobedience. It turns then into the blackness of a curse upon you. Come. Come. Be nearer.
Nearer?
Was that scorn? I would not have it prove so for the hopes of the Grand Monarchy. If it were like it, let it not dare to stir abroad again. A stronger ill will cope with
Bless
it.
Bless me. Threatens me and quite dismays the good strength that should help me. I never was so doubtful of my safety.
'Twas but my jealousy. Forgive me, sweetness. Yours is the house of meekness, and no venom lives under that roof. Be nearer. Why so fearful? Nearer the altar, the more safe and sacred.
But nearer to the offerer, oft more wicked.
A plain and most insufferable contempt! My glory I have lost upon this woman. In freely offering that, she should have kneeled a year in vain for. My respect is darkened. Give me my reverence again, thou'st robbed me of. In thy repose, thou shalt not carry it hence.
Sir!
Thou art too great a winner to depart, and I too deep a loser to give way to it.
Oh, heaven!
Lay me down, reputation, before thou stirrest. Thy nice virginity is recompense too little for my love. 'Tis well if I accept of that for both. Thy loss is but thine own. There's art to help thee and fools to pass thee to. In my discovery, the whole society suffers. And in that, the hope of absolute monarchy eclipsed. Assurance, thou canst make none of thy secrecy but by thy honour's loss. That act must awe thee.
Oh, my distressed condition!
Dost thou weep? If thou hadst any pity, this necessity would wring it from thee. I must else destroy thee. We must not trust the policy of Europe upon a woman's tongue.
God, then take my life, sir, and leave mine honour for my guide to heaven.
Take heed, I take the both which I have vowed, if longer thou resist me.
Oh, help! Oh, help!
Art thou so cruel for an honour's bubble to undo a whole fraternity and disperse the secrets of most princes locked in us?
For heaven and virtue's sake.
Must force compel!
Help! Help!
What's that? Silence. If fair worth be in thee.
I'll venture my escape upon all dangers now.
Who comes to take me? Let me see that pawn's face, or his proud timpanous master, swelled with state wind, which being once pricked in the convocation house corrupt air, puffs out, and he falls shriveled.
I will discover thee, arch hypocrite, to all the kindreds of the earth.
In there!
Confusion! In that voice rings the alarum of my undoing. How? Which way escapes she from me?
Are you mad? Can lust infatuate a man so hopeful? No patience in your blood? The dog star reigns, sure. Time and fair temper would have wrought her pliant. I spied a pawn of the White House walk near us and made that noise on purpose to give warning for mine own turn, which end is all I work for.
Methinks I stand over a powder vault and the match now kindling. What's to be done?
Ask the Black Bishop's counsel. You're his pawn, 'tis his own case. He will defend you mainly. And, haply, here he comes, with the Black Knight, too.
Oh, you've made a noble work for the White House yonder. This act will fill the adversary's mouth and blow the Lutheran's cheeks till they crack again.
This will advance the great monarchical business in all parts well and help the agents forward. What I, in 7 years, laboured to accomplish 1 minute sets back by some codpiece college still.
I dwell not, sir, alone in this default. The Black House yields me partners.
All more quarterless.
Qui caute caste, that's my motto ever. I've travelled with that word over most kingdoms, and lain safe with all nations. Of a leaking bottom, I've been as often tossed on Venus seas as trimmer, fresher vessels, when sounder barks have lain at anchor, that is, kept the door.
She hath no witness, then?
None, none.
Gross witness? When went a man of his society to mischief with a witness?
I have done it, then. Away. Upon the wings of speed, take post-horse, cast 30 leagues of earth behind thee suddenly, leave letters antedated with our house 10 days at least from this.
Bishop, I taste thee. Good, strong episcopal counsel. Take a bottle on't, 'twill serve thee all thy journey.
But, good sir, how for my getting forth unspied?
There's check again.
No, I'll help that.
Well said, my bouncing Jesuitess.
There,
lies a secret vault.
Away, make haste, then!
Run for my cabinet of intelligences, for fear they search the house. Good Bishop Burnham, rather. I cannot stand to pick him now.
Begone. The danger's all in you.
Let me see, Queen's Pawn. How formally has packed up his intelligences, hath laid them all in truckle beds, methinks, and like court harbingers hath writ their names in chalk upon their chambers. Anglica? Oh, this is the English house. What news there, trow? Oh, by this hand, most of these are bawdy epistles. Time they were burnt, indeed. Oh, bundles of them. Here's from his daughter Blanche and daughter Bridget from their safe sanctuary in the Whitefriars. These from two tender sisters of compassion in the bowels of Bloomsbury. These from the nunnery in Drury Lane. A fire, good Jesuitess, a fire. What have you there?
A note, sir, of state policy, and an exceeding safe one.
Pray let's see it, sir. To sell away all the powder in a kingdom to prevent blowing up. That's safe. I'll able it. Here's a facetious observation now, and fits my humour better. He writes here, some wives in England will commit adultery and then send to Rome for a bull for their husbands.
Have they those shifts?
Oh, there's no female breathing sweeter and subtler. Here, wench, take these papers, scorch me 'em soundly, burn 'em to French russet, and put 'em in again.
Why, what's your mystery?
Oh, sir, 'twill mock the adversary strangely if e'er the house be searched. 'Twas done in Venice upon the Jesuitical expulse there. When the inquisitors came, all spectacled, to pick out syllables out of the dung of treasoners, children pick out cherry stones, yet found none but what they made themselves with ends of letters. Do as I bid you, pawn.
Fear not. In all, I love roguery too well to let it fall. How now, knight's pawn? What news with you?
The sting of conscience afflicts me so for that inhuman violence on the white bishop's pawn. It takes away my joy, my rest.
This is to make a eunuch. You made a sport on it then.
Cease aggravation. I come to be absolved for it. Where's my confessor? Why dost thou point to the ground?
'Cause he went that way.
What's that?
Come, help me in with this cabinet, and after I have singed these papers thoroughly, I'll tell thee a strange story.
If it be sad, 'tis welcome.
'Tis not troubled with much mirth, sir.
I attend your great holiness service.
Oh, for great, I grant you. But for greatly holy, there the soil alters. Fat cathedral bodies have very often but lean little souls. Much like the lady in the lobster's head. A great deal of shell and garbage of all colours, but the pure part that should take wings and mount is at last gasp. As if a man should gape, and from his huge bulk let forth a butterfly. Like those big-bellied mountains which the poet delivers that are brought to bed with mouse flesh. Are my books printed, pawn, my last invective against the Black House?
Ready for publication, sir, for I saw perfect books this morning.
Fetch me a few, which I will instantly distribute amongst the White House.
With all speed, sir.
'Tis a most lordly life to rail at ease, sit, eat, and drink upon the fat of one kingdom and rail upon another with the juice on't. I've writ this book out of the strength and marrow of 36 dishes at a meal. But most on't out of cullis of cock sparrows. 'Twill stick and glue the faster to the adversary. 'Twill slit the throat of their most calvish cause. And yet I ate but little butcher's meat in the conception. Of all things, I commend the White House best for plenty and variety of victuals. When I was one of the black side professed, my flesh fell half a cubit. Time to turn when mine own ribs revolted. But to say true, I've no preferment yet that's suitable to the greatness of my person and my parts. I grant I live at ease, for I am made the master of the beds, the long acre of beds. But there's no marigold that shuts and opens, flower gentles, Venus baths, apples of love, pinks, hyacinths, honeysuckles, daffodown dillies. There was a time I had more such drabs than beds. Now I've more beds than drabs. Yet there's no eminent trader deals in wholesale, but she and I have clapped a bargain up, let in at Watergate, for which I've racked my tenants' purse strings till they've twanged again. Yonder's Black Knight, the fistula of Europe, whose disease once I undertook to cure with a high Holborn halter, when he last vouchsafed to peep into my privileged lodgings. He saw good store of plate there, and rich hangings. He knew I brought none to the White House with me. I have not lost the use of my profession since I turned White House bishop.
Look, more books yet. Yon greasy turncoat gormandizing prelate doth work our house more mischief by his scripts, his fat and fulsome volumes, than the whole body of the adverse party.
Oh, it were a masterpiece of serpent subtlety to fetch him this side again.
And then damn him into the bag forever, or expose him against the adverse part which now he feeds upon, and that would double damn him. My revenge hath prompted me already. I'll confound him on both sides for the physic he prescribed and the base surgeon he provided for me. I'll tell thee what a most un-Catholic jest he put upon me once when my pain tortured me. He told me he had found a present cure for me, which I grew proud on and observed him seriously. What think you 'twas? Being execution day, he showed the hangman to me out at window. The common hangman!
Oh, insufferable!
I'll make him the balloon ball of the churches, and both the sides shall toss him. He looks like one. A thing swelled up with mingled drink and urine, and will bound well from one side to another. Come, you shall write our second bishop absent, which yet hath no employment in the game, perhaps nor ever shall. It may be one without his motion, it rests most in ours. He shall be flattered with sede vacante. Make him believe he comes into his place, and that will fetch him with a vengeance to us, for I know powder is not more ambitious when the match meets it than his mind for mounting as covetous and lecherous.
No more now, sir. Both the sides fill.
My new work, O White King!
This hath been looked for long.
Oh, the stronger sting it shoots into the blood of the black adversary. I am ashamed now I was theirs ever. What a lump was I when I was led in ignorance and blindness. I must confess, I've all my lifetime played the fool till now.
And now he plays two parts, the fool and knave.
There is my recantation in the last leaf, writ like a Ciceronian in pure Latin.
Pure honesty, the plainer Latin serves then.
Plague on these pestilent pamphlets. Those are they that wound our cause to the heart.
Justice, my king, justice!
Here comes more anger.
But we come well provided for this storm.
Is this my pawn? She that should guard our person, or some pale figure of dejection, her shape usurping. Sorrow and affrightment hath prevailed strangely with her.
King of integrity, queen of the same, and all the house, professors of noble candor, uncorrupted justice, and truth of heart, through my alone discovery, my life and honor wondrously preserved, I bring into your knowledge with my sufferings, fearful affrightments, and heart-killing terrors, the great incendiary of Christendom, the absolute abuser of true sanctity, fair peace and holy order can be found in any part of the universal globe, who, making meek devotion keep the door, his lips being full of holy zeal at first, would have committed a foul rape upon me.
A rape? That's foul, indeed. The very sound to our ear fouler than the offense itself to some kings of the earth.
Sir, to proceed. Gladly I offered life to preserve honor, which would not be accepted without both, the chief of his ill aim being at mine honor, till heaven was pleased by some unlooked-for accident to give me courage to redeem myself.
When we find desperate sins in ill men's companies, we place a charitable sorrow there. But custom and their leprous inclination quits us of wonder, for our expectation is answered in their lives. But to find sin, yea, and a masterpiece of darkness, sheltered into a robe of sanctity, is able to draw all wonder to that monster only, and leave created monsters unadmired. The pride of him that took first fall for pride is to be angel-shaped, and imitate the form from whence he fell. But this offender, far baser than sin's master, fixed by vow to holy order, which is angel's method, takes pride to use that shape to be a devil. It grieves me to my knowledge that must be tainted with his infested name. Oh, rather with my finger point him out.
The place which he should fill is void, my lord. His guilt hath scared him. The black bishop's pawn.
Ha! Mine? My pawn? The glory of his order, the prime and president zealot of the earth, impudent pawn. For thy sake at this minute, modesty suffers. All that's virtuous blushes, and truth's self, like the sun vexed with a mist, looks red with anger.
Be not you drunk with rage too.
Sober sincerity, nor you with a cup spiced with hypocrisy.
You name there, bishop, but your own Christmas bowl. Your morning's delight, next to your episcopal heart all the 12 days, which smack you cannot leave the year after.
A shrewd retort has made our bishop smell of burning, too, would I stood farther off. But no impeachment to my honour or the game, would they'd play faster.
White knight, there is here acknowledged from our house a reverence to you, and a respect to that loved duke stands next to you. With the favour of the White King and the forementioned respected, I combat with this cause. If, with all speed, waste not one syllable, unfortunate pawn of what I speak, thou dost not plead distraction, a plea which will but faintly take thee off neither from this leviathan scandal that lies rolling upon the crystal waters of devotion, or what may quit thee more, though enough nothing, fall down and foam, and by that pang discover the vexing spirit of falsehood strong within thee, make thyself ready for perdition. There's no remove in all the game to scape it. This pawn, or this, the bishop, or myself, will take thee in the end, play how thou canst.
Spite of sin's glorious ostentation, and all loud threats, those thunder cracks of pride, ushering a storm of malice, house of impudence, craft and equivocation, my true cause shall keep the path it treads in.
I play thus, then. Now, in the hearing of this high assembly, bring forth the time of this attempt's conception.
Conception? Oh, how tenderly you handle it.
It seems, Black Knight, you are afraid to touch it.
Well, its eruption will she have it so, then, or you, White Cleric, for her. The more unclean, vile, and more impious that you urge the strain to, the greater will her shame's heap show in the end, and the wronged meek man's glory. The time, pawn.
Yesterday's cursed evening.
Ooh, the treasure of my revenge. I cannot spend all on thee, ruin to spare for all thy kindred too, for honour's sake. Call in more slanderers. I have such plentiful confusion, I know not how to waste it. I'll be nobler yet, and put her to her own house. King of meekness, take the cause to thee, for our hands too heavy. Our proofs will fall upon her like a tower and grind her bones to powder.
What new engine has the devil raised in him now?
Is it he and that the time? Stand firm now to your scandal. Pray, do not shift your slander.
Shift your treacheries? They've worn one suit too long.
That holy man, so wrongfully accused by this lost pawn, hath not been seen these 10 days in these parts.
How?
Nay, at this instant 30 leagues from here.
Fathomless falsehood! Will it escape unblasted?
Can you make this appear?
Light is not clearer. By his own letters, most impartial monarch.
How wrongfully may sacred virtue suffer, sir?
Bishop, we have a treasure of that false heart.
Step forth and reach these proofs.
Amazement covers me. Can I be so forsaken of a cause so strong in truth and equity? Will virtue send me no aid in this hard time of friendship?
There's an infallible staff and a red hat reserved for you.
Oh, sir, endeared.
A staff that will not easily break. You may trust, Toot. And such a one had your corruption need of. There's a state fig for you now.
Behold all, how they cohere in one. I always held a charity so good to holiness professed that I ever believed rather the accuser false than the professor vicious.
A charity, like all your virtues else, gracious and glorious.
Where settles the offence? Let the fault's punishment be derived from thence. We leave her to your censure.
Most just, Majesty.
Calamity of virtue. My queen, leave me too. Am I cast off as olive casts her flower? Poor friendless innocence, art thou left of prey to the devourer?
No, thou art not lost. Let them put on their bloodiest resolutions if the fair policy I aim at prospers. Thy noble counsel, Duke.
For that work, cheerfully.
A man for speed, now?
Let it be my honour, sir. Make me that flight that owes her my life service.
Was not this brought about well for our honours?
Ish, that Tylesian brain can work out wonders.
Let's use her as upon the light discovery a maid was used at Venice. Everyone be ready with a penance. Begin, Majesty. Vessel of foolish scandal, take thy freight. Had there been in that cabinet of niceness half the virginities of the earth locked up, and all swept at one cast by the dexterity of a Jesuitical gamester, t'had not valued the least part of that general worth thou'st tainted.
First, I enjoin thee to a 3 days fast for it.
Are you too penurious, sir? I'll make it 4.
Aye, to a 12 hours kneeling at one time.
And in a room filled all with Aretine's pictures. More than the 12 labours of luxury of Lucrece dagger peeping. Nay, I'll punish thee for a discoverer. I'll torment thy modesty.
After that 4 days fast, to the Inquisition house. Strengthened with bread and water for worse penance.
Why, well said, Bishop of our house, nobly aggravated.
Virtue, to show her influence more strong, fits me with patience mightier than my wrong.
I know my pen draws blood of the Black House. There's ne'er a book I write but their cause bleeds. It hath lost many an ounce of reputation since I came on this side. I strike deep in, and leave the orifice gushing where I come. But where's my advancement all this while I've gaped for? I'd have some round preferment, corpulent dignity that bears some breadth and compass in the gift on't. I am persuaded that this flesh would fill the biggest chair ecclesiastical if it were put to trial. To be made master of an hospital is but a kind of diseased, bed-rid honor. Or dean of the poor alms knights that wear badges. Ooh. There's but two lazy, beggarly preferments in the White Kingdom, but I've got them both. My merit doth begin to be crop-sick for want of other titles.
Ooh. Oh, here walks his fulsome holiness. Now for the master trick to undo him everlastingly. That's put home and make him hang in hell most seriously that jested with a halter upon me.
The Black Knight. I must look to my play then.
I bring fair greetings to your reverend virtues. From Cardinal Paulus, your most princely kinsman.
Our princely kinsman, sayest thou? We accept him. Keep your side and distance. I am chary of my episcopal person. I know the knight's walk in this game too well. He may skip over me. Where am I then?
There, where thou shalt be shortly, if art fail not.
Right, reverend and noble. Oh, meaning me. Our true kinsman in blood, but alienated in affection, your unkind disobedience to the mother cause proves, at this time, the only cause of your ill fortune, my present remove by general election to the papal papal dignity? Had now auspiciously settled you in my sede vacante. How had it so? Which, at my next remove by death, might have proved your step to supremacy. All my body's blood mounts to my face to look upon this letter.
The pill works with him.
Think on't seriously. It is not yet too late, through the submiss acknowledgement of your disobedience, to be lovingly received into the brotherly bosom of the conclave. This was the chair of ease I ever aimed at. I'll make a bonfire of my books immediately. All that are left against that side, I'll sacrifice, pack up my plate and goods, and steal away by night at Watergate. It is but penning another recantation, and inventing two or three bitter books against the White House, and then I'm in on the other side again, as firm as e'er I was, as fat and flourishing. Black Knight, expect a wonder ere it be long. Thou shalt see me one of the Black House shortly.
Your Holiness is merry with the messenger, too happy to be true. You speak what should be if natural compunction touched you truly. Oh, you've drawn blood, lifeblood, yea, blood of honour from your most dear, your primitive mother's heart. Your sharp invectives have been points of spears in her sweet, tender sides. The unkind wounds which her son gives, a son of reverence especially, they rankle 10 times more than the adversaries. I tell you, sir, your reverend revolt did give the fearful blow to adoration our cause e'er felt. It shook the very statues, the urns and ashes of the sainted sleepers.
Forbear, or I shall melt in the place I stand and let forth a fat bishop in sad syrup. Suffices, I am yours. When they least dream on't, ambition's fodder, power and riches draws me. When I smell honour, that's the lock of hay that leads me through the world's field every way.
Here's a sweet paunch to propagate belief on, like the foundation of a chapel laid upon a quagmire. I may number him now amongst my inferior policies and not shame him, but let me a little solace my designs with the remembrance of some brave ones past, to cherish the futurity of project whose motion must be restless till that great work called the possession of the earth be ours. Was it not I,
procured a gallant fleet from the White Kingdom to secure our coasts against the infidel pirate under pretext of more necessitous expedition? Who made the jails fly open without miracle and let the locusts out, those dangerous flies whose property is to burn corn with touching? The heretics' granaries feel it to this hour, and now they've got amongst the country crops. They stick so fast to the converted ears, the loudest tempest that authority rouses will hardly shake them off. They have their dens in ladies' couches. There's safe groves and fens. Nay, were they followed and found out by the scent, palm oil will make a pursuivant relent. Whose policy was't? To put a silenced muzzle on all the barking tongue-men of the time, made pictures that were dumb enough before poor sufferers in that politic restraint. My light spleen skips and shakes my ribs to think on't, whilst our drifts walk uncensured, but in thought a whistle or a whisper would be questioned. In the most fortunate angle of the world, the court hath held the city by the horns whilst I have milked her. I've got good sops, too, from country ladies for their liberties, for some of their most vainly hoped preferments, high offices in the air. I should not live but for this Mel Irium, this Mirth Manor. My pawn. How now, the news?
Expect none very pleasing that comes, sir, of my bringing. I'm for sad things.
Thy conscience is so tender-hoofed of late, every nail pricks it.
This may prick yours, too, if there be any quick flesh in the yard on't.
Mine? Mischief must find a deep nail and a driver beyond the strength of any Machiavel the politic kingdom's fatten to reach mine. Prithee, compunction, needle-pricked a little, unbind this sore wound.
Sir, your plot's discovered.
Which of the 20,900 fourscore and five? Canst tell?
Bless us, so many? How do our poor countrymen have but one plot to keep a cow on, yet in law for that? You cannot know them all, sure, by their names.
Yes, were their number trebled. Thou hast seen a globe stand on the table in my closet?
A thing, sir, full of countries and hard words.
It's true. With lines drawn, some tropical, some oblique.
I scarce can read. I was brought up in blindness.
Just such a thing, if e'er my skull be opened, will my brains look like.
Like a globe of countries?
Aye, and some master politician that has sharp eyes will go near to pick out the plots and every climate where they fastened. 'Twill puzzle them, too.
I'm of your mind for that, sir.
They'll find them to fall thick upon some countries they'd knees use spectacles. But I turn to you now. What plot is that discovered?
Your last brat, sir. Got twixt the Black Bishop and yourself, your antedated letters about the Jesuit.
Discovered how?
The White Knight's policy hath outstripped yours. Joined with the assistant counsel of his duke, the White Bishop's pawn undertook the journey, who, as they say, discharged it like a flight. I made him for the business fit and light.
'Tis but a bawdy pawn out of the way, enough of them in all parts.
You have heard all, then?
The wonder's passed with me, but some shall down for it.
Set free that virtuous pawn from all her wrongs. Let her be brought with honour to the face of her malicious adversary.
Good.
Noble, chaste knight. A title of their candour. The greatest prince on earth without impeachment. May have the dignity of his worth comprised in this fair delivering act. Virtue will register in that white book of the defense of virgins, where the clear fames of all preserving knights are to eternal memory consecrated. And we embrace, as partner of that honor, this worthy duke, the counsel of the act, whom we shall ever place in our respect.
Most blessed of kings, throned in all royal graces, every good deed sends back its own reward into the bosom of the enterpriser. But you, to express yourself as well to be king of munificence as integrity, adds glory to the gift.
Thy deserts claims it. Zeal and fidelity. Appear thou, beauty of truth and innocence, best ornament of patience, thou that makes thy sufferings glorious.
I'll take no knowledge, aunt. What makes she here? How dares yon pawn unpenanced with a cheek fresh as her falsehood yet, where castigation hath left no pale print of her visiting anguish, appear in this assembly? Let me alone. Sin must be bold, that's all the grace it's born to.
What's this?
I'm wonderstruck.
Assist me, goodness. I shall to prison again.
At least I've mazed them. Scattered their admirations of her innocence as the fired ships put in, severed the fleet in 88. I'll on with it. Impudence is mischief's patrimony. Is this justice? Is injured reverence no sharpier righted? I ever held that majesty impartial, that, like most equal heaven, looks on the manners, not the shapes they shroud in.
This black knight will never take an answer. 'Tis a victory to make him understand he does amiss, when he knows in his own clear understanding that he does nothing else. Show him the testimony confirmed by good men, how that foul attempter got but this morning to the place from whence he dated his forged lines for 10 days past.
Why may not the corruption sleep in this by some connivance, as you have waked in ours by too rash confidence?
I'll undertake that knight shall teach the devil how to lie.
If sin were half so wise as impudent, she'd ne'er seek further for an advocate.
Now to act treachery with an angel's tongue, since all's come out. I'll bring him strangely in again.
Where is this injured chastity, this goodness whose worth no transitory peace can value, this rock of constant and invincible virtue that made sin's tempest weary of his fury?
What? Is my pawn distracted?
I think rather there is some notable master prize of roguery this drum strikes up for.
Let me fall with reverence before this blessed altar. Oh,
this is madness.
Well, mark the end. I stand for roguery still. I will not change my side.
I shall be taxed, I know. I care not what the Black House thinks of me.
What say you now?
I will not be unlaid yet.
However censure flies, I honour sanctity. That is my object. I intend no other. I saw this glorious and most valiant virtue fight the most noblest combat with the devil.
Oh, if both of the bishops had been there for seconds, it had been a complete duel.
Then thou heardst the violence intended?
'Tis a truth I joy to justify. I was an agent, sir, on virtue's part, and raised that confused noise that startled his attempt, and gave her liberty.
Oh, 'tis a righteous story she hath told, sir. My life and fame stand mutually engaged, both to the truth and goodness of this pawn.
Doth it appear to you yet, clear as the sun?
Lass, I believed it long before 'twas done.
Degenerate!
Base!
Perfidious!
Traitorous pawn!
What, are you all beside yourselves?
But I remember that pawn.
May a fearful barrenness blast both my hopes and pleasures if I brought not her ruin in my pity, a new trap for her more sure confusion.
Have I won now? Did I not say 'twas craft and machination? I smelt conspiracy all the way it went, although the mess were covered, I'm so used to it.
That queen would I fain finger.
You're too hot, sir. If she were took, the game would be ours quickly. My aim's at that white knight, and trap him first, the duke will follow too.
I would that bishop were in my diocese. I'd soon change his whiteness.
Sir, I could whip you up a pawn immediately. I know where my game stands.
Do it suddenly. Advantage least must not be lost in this play.
White king's pawn, that ours.
Our king's pawn. He's taken by default by willful negligence. Guard the sacred persons. Look well to the white bishop, for that pawn gave guard to the queen and him in the third place.
See what sure peace you lock your confidence in. I made this pawn here by corruption ours as soon as honour by creation yours. This whiteness upon him is but the leprosy of pure dissimulation. View him now, his heart and his intents are of our colour.
My pawn, a turncoat. Most dangerous hypocrite.
One made against us.
His truth of their complexion.
Hath my goodness, clemency, love, and favour gracious raised thee from a condition next to popular labour, took thee from all the indubitable hazards of fortune, her most unsecure adventures, and grafted thee into a branch of honour. And dost thou fall from the top bough by the rottenness of thy lone corruption, like a fruit that's over-ripened by the beams of favour. Let thy own weight reward thee. I have forgot thee. Integrity of life is so dear to me. Where I find falsehood or crime trespass, be it in any whom our grace shines most on, I tear him from thy heart.
Oh, spoke like heaven's substitute.
You have him. We can spare him. And his shame will make the rest look better to their game.
The more cunning we must use, then.
We shall match you, play how you can, perhaps and mate you, too.
Is there so much amazement spent on him that's but half black? There might be hope of that man. But how will this house wonder if I stand forth and show a whole one? Instantly discover one that's all black, where there's no hope at all.
I'll say thy heart then justifies thy books. I long for that discovery.
Look no further, then. Bear witness, all the house. I am the man, and turn myself into the black house freely. I am of this side now.
Monster ne'er matched him.
This is your noble work, knight.
Now I'll halter him.
Next news you hear, expect my books against you. Printed at Douai, Brussels, or Spalatro.
See his good seized on.
Alas, they were all conveyed last night by water to a tailor's house. A friend of the black cause.
A prepared hypocrite.
Premeditated. Turncoat.
Yes, rail on. I'll reach you in my writings when I'm gone.
Flatter him a while with honours while we put him upon some dangerous service, and then burn him.
This came unlooked for.
With joy to see you.
Now I'll discover all the White House to you.
Indeed. That will both reconcile and raise you.
I rest upon you, knight, for my advancement now.
Oh, for the staff. The strong staff that will hold and the red hat. Fit for the guilty mazzard. Into the empty bag know thy first way. Pawns that are lost are ever out of play.
How's that?
No replications. You know me. No doubt ere long you'll have more company. The bag is big enough to hold us all.
I sue to thee. Prithee, be one of us. Let my love win thee. Thou'st done truth this day, and yesterday my honour noble service, the best pawn of our house, could not transcend it.
My pity flamed with zeal, especially when I foresaw your marriage. Then it mounted.
How? Marriage?
That contaminating act would have spoiled all your fortunes. Rape! God bless us!
Thou talkst of marriage?
Yes, you do marry. I saw the man.
The man?
An absolute, handsome gentleman. A complete one. You'll say so when you see him. Heir to 3 red hats, besides his general hopes in the black house.
Why, sure thou'd much mistaken in this man. I've promised single life to all my affections.
Promise you what you will, or I, or any honest. There's a fate rules and overrules us all, methinks.
Why, how came you to see or know this mystery?
A magical glass I bought of an Egyptian, whose stone retains that speculative virtue, presented the man to me. Your name brings him as often as I use it, and methinks I never have enough. Person and postures are all so pleasing.
This is wondrous strange. The faculties of soul are still the same. I can feel no one motion tend that way.
We do not always feel the faith we live by, nor ever see our growth, yet both work upward.
'Twas well applied, but may I see him too?
Surely you may, without all doubt or fear, observing the right use as I was taught it, not looking back or questioning the spectre.
That's no hard observation. Trust it with me. It's possible. I long to see this man.
Pray follow me then, and I'll ease you instantly.
That's where we'll take a break for the interval. We'll take a 25-minute interval. We'll begin back at 2:15. Thank you very much, everyone. Thank you very much to the cast. See you for the second half.
And that was the second part of Middleton's Endgame, a live show produced at the White Bear in Kennington on Sunday, the 11th of August, 2024. 400 years to the day of one of the 9 anniversaries of the first scandalous performances. In this part you heard Act 1 to Act 3, Scene 1, depending on the text you're looking at. And next episode will conclude the live mix of the show. In A Game at Chess by Thomas Middleton were Alexandra Katagida as the Black Queen's Pawn, Alva Casey as the White Queen's Pawn, Rule Fox as Black Bishop's Pawn, Robert Crichton as the Black Knight's Pawn, Keith Hill, Ignatius Loyola, and the Black Knight, Susan Kidd as Era and the White King's Pawn, Simon Nader, Black Bishop and the White Duke, Liza Graham, the Fat Bishop, Daniel Yabbott as the White King, Gillian Horgan as Prologue, White Queen and the Fat Bishop's Pawn, Kit Maguire as the White Knight, Sojourner Hazelwood Connell as the White Bishop's Pawn, Connor Robert Brown as the Black King, and Valentina Vinci as Black Queen. The music for this production was specially composed and produced by Rule Fox. The event was produced and edited by myself, Robert Crichton, for the Beyond podcast. Part 3 of the event and the second half of the play will follow soon. But if you just can't wait, rough cuts of the whole day and materials we use to make it are available as a box set on our Patreon for a one-off fee. Link in the show description. And then there is a host of other material on the podcast and YouTube channel about the play's so many readings of the play in different cuts, depending on your interest, all available for free. There's also a discussion on Middleton's legacy on the pod, with the editors of a collection on that subject. Supporting us on any level on the Patreon is a huge help, so it would be lovely to see you there. There's even a free subscription tier for you to keep up to speed with developments. Alternatively, you can support us on ko-fi.com/beyondshakespeare, and links to all these are in the show description. Thank you very much for listening. Goodbye!